Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, a ministry of the free distribution of God's life-transformative word, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. My guest for the preponderance of the hour is the Reverend John Kenty of the Macedonia Mission Center, situated in North Philadelphia, a wonderful ministry to the homeless in the interests of the gospel and love of Christ. We share, Pastor Kenty and I, on the other end of our homily, drawn this morning from 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. We read that you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. You know, this is a remarkable text of Scripture. On the one hand, Paul is, in a way, endeavoring to justify his ministry, though by the same token communicating that it needs no justification. It is also a text that speaks in such exquisite terms, drawing upon the imagery of mothers and fathers. He says that we were like mothers amongst you, and a bit later, we were as fathers amongst you. This is very precious imagery utilized by the Apostle Paul. But before he even comes to such preciousness, he wants to clear the deck. And he says, you know, our coming to you, it wasn't in vain. We suffered shamefully. We were treated shamefully at Philippi at the hands of an unruly mob. Still, we had boldness to share the gospel of our God to you, though we were finding ourselves amidst much conflict. I relate to this, friends, and anyone who has been in pastoral ministry will so relate. One would like to think that a local church fellowship is always and never other than an idyllic setting filled with idyllic-minded people. But even Christians are human beings, and therefore they are fallen by nature. And whether we be laity, whether we be members of the congregation or parish, or we be the clerical leaders, the ordained pastors, we remain a people of flesh. The Spirit of Almighty God must always be combating our flesh. And the Word does tell us elsewhere in the New Testament. Paul tells us that the Spirit and the flesh are at odds or at enmity with one another. And therefore, any time we endeavor to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is, in the very least, potential for conflict. Flesh will get in the way. The influence of the world will become obstructive and intrusive, and there will be always endeavors on the part of demons, demonic intrusions, if you will. The world, the flesh, and the devil are always ready to rear their ugly heads. And yet, the God who is within us, the God we worship and serve, the one true and living God, he is greater than all of this. In his sovereignty, he is greater, and he will see to it that notwithstanding the circumstances, his message will bleed through the crevices, shine through the clouds. His word shall go forth, and it will not return to him empty. It will accomplish everything for which he has had it sent, delivered, or otherwise articulated. And the great apostle and his cohorts, Silas and Timothy, were not only the beneficiaries, but they had the privilege of being the conduit of this gospel. We had boldness to share the gospel of God with you. If ministry is not easy, and if indignities, great indignities, arise as you are at work doing the things of God, you discover on the one hand it's a very brazen world, promiscuous and lascivious. Indeed, one prime example of this, and I recall as far back as the 70s when we'd be watching films and the sex scenes became more and more explicit. The young actresses who would disrobe before the camera, we would be told of them that they were very courageous. No, I don't think they were courageous. They were being voyeuristic and exhibitionistic. That had nothing to do with courage. But for Christians, we're not called to be brazen. We are called, conversely, we are called to be bold. To be bold for Christ. Boldness doesn't mean that we're being aggressive. Boldness doesn't mean that we're flaunting ourselves in the faces of people and making nuisances of ourselves. Boldness simply means that amidst crisis and strife and conflict, we stand steady, we stand up, and we hold forth with the word of God. Always holding forth the word of truth, but with loving intent. I love how the great Malcolm Muggeridge once put it. He was an English pundit who as far back as the 1930s was an atheist and very much a part of the socialistic framework of those pre-World War II Europeans. But Muggeridge had a conversion to Christ, and I love what he had to say. He says, I hate all categories except for one category, the category of truth. And that category of truth, living itself out, playing out within the atmosphere of love. As Christians, we are bold by virtue of the fact that we hold forth the truth. We speak truth, and yet we also do so always, always in the love of Christ. Love and truth commingling together. Praise the Lord. And the apostle, please, he goes on to speak to the effect that their motivations were sound and pure. He says, our appeal does not spring from error or impurity, or by any attempt to deceive. We did not come amongst you to please you. We came to please God. We didn't come with words of flattery. We did not come seeking glory. We did not come making demands. You know, as the pastor of a small church, I could make all of the demands I would want. My congregation could wish that they could accede to my every demand. But the resources, in purely human terms, are quite limited. And what we have learned to do is not to make demands upon one another, but together to trust in God, who has approved us to be entrusted with the gospel. I love the fact that I have been so approved. God has approved me. He has approved me by virtue of his call upon my life. He called me to speak this word. I did not choose this vocation. He chose me. And I am approved by way of the atoning sacrifice of the blood of Christ. My sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. And by way of the presence of the Spirit of Almighty God, the Word tells me and tells all of us that by virtue of the presence of the Spirit in our lives. It is proof positive that we are children of God and heirs of his kingdom. And the Spirit within us is the one who teaches us to cry out, Abba, Father. We are approved by God by virtue of the fact that we speak not our word, but his word. And even if we have certain differences in our understanding, Baptists baptize one way and perhaps Lutherans another. But the reality is, if we're looking to the same word, desirous of the same substratum of truth, Paul tells us that in the final analysis, for those who are spiritually mature, God will reveal to us what is and is not the truth. The Apostle Paul and his cohorts, as Pastor Canty and I, we have been approved by God as men entrusted with the gospel. Some might entrust you with money. Some might entrust you with the welfare of their children. But God has entrusted us with the very word of God. And it is a precious trust that presents a powerful word, a power unto salvation for all who believe. Praise God. Brad Lacey with the great message. The Reverend John Canty and I return in a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey, returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. My great pleasure. I have had this wonderful privilege in recent times of entering into fellowship with a man who is so very, very dear. He has a beautiful soul, a man of deep reflection and ardent love for those in desperate need, the Reverend John Canty of the Macedonia Mission Center of North Philadelphia, an absolutely wonderful ministry to the homeless of our city. Reverend Canty, it is my privilege. Welcome to the broadcast.
Amen, and thank you, brother. It's really my privilege to be able to be here with you, and I'm so impressed with that wonderful word that you shared with us. Amen. God is sovereign, and God is faithful, and we are just so glad to know him. And through him, we have learned of you, and we thank God for you and your ministry. Amen.
Well, we both know the hand of God upon our lives by way of health, by way of ministry. It is our consummate privilege to render service together, and I so much look forward to more cooperation and interaction with you, sir. I would love for you to share with our audience. I've gotten to know you. I would love for our audience now to get to know you. Share your story of faith, Reverend Canty, please.
Amen, amen. I praise God for the opportunity to share that, and I thank God for the scripture tell us, for grace, by grace are we saved through faith, and that's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, and neither shall anyone boast. But look, I had the great privilege of being brought up attending church, although lost. Amen. God provided me a wonderful opportunity by one of my customers. I ran a garage for 25 years, and I had a customer, a pastor customer, who invited me numerous times to church. And although I grew up in church, I strayed so far away from religion, not away from Christ, but from religion, because although I attend church, I was a lost soul. Amen. I thought I could find peace and prosperity and goodness in the world, which forever escaped me. But anyway, back to the pastor who invited me. And one Sunday, I took him up because he said to me, he said, you're a wonderful mechanic. I've got men in the church with cars, and they're looking for a good mechanic. Will you come? And that was the magic word to get me to attend church that Sunday. I went there. And sitting there, and I heard the wonderful sermon from John 3:16, so one that most folks have heard and know by heart. And I sat there just waiting to after service to meet those men who were looking for a good mechanic. Amen. But instead, I met a wonderful God through the message of John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life. I said,
well, go ahead. Pastor, if I may, isn't it a wonderful thing when that word pops before you? I mean, it just opens wide.
Yes.
I remember when it first opened to me. It's an unmistakable and very singular reality, and one that you never forget.
Amen.
It just opens wide a whole new world to you, doesn't it?
One of the things it did for me, it pricked my heart. I saw myself, and I marvel at God's great love and grace. Not knowing him, I still thought it was wonderful that someone so dearly loved me, knew me by name, and knew me by nature, and wanted to offer me a wonderful gift through his son, Jesus Christ. Well, I sit there, pride building up. I wanted to respond to the invitation to publicly come down and recognize, have the congregation recognize that I felt a need for Christ in my life. But pride kept me seated to my seat until a wonderful lady came down and said, you came this far. Do you want to take the next step? Yeah. And sitting there with tears in my eyes, I said, yes. And that was by the grace of God. I recognized that so wonderfully. And I went down and I accepted Christ, and my life never was the same. Amen.
Don't you think, Pastor, when you speak of pride being obstructive, the Bible says that God hates pride.
Yes.
But I think that he hates it not simply because it is inherently heinous, but he hates it because it is so obstructive to the children he loves so dearly.
Amen. Amen. Yes. And pride often build a great obstruction between man and God. And so it was with me that day. But someone cared enough about me and Christ that they took the extra step to confront me with my needs. You came this far. Don't you want to take the next step? And my answer was yes. And I thank God for that person, because I recognize that God used that person as an instrument to draw me to him. And so I'm so glad about that, and so thankful that God loved me in spite of me, and that did.
And don't you think that God had that dear lady, if you will, planted there for you? Because I remember a few years ago, my wife and I were up on Cape Cod, and we baptized my cousin in the Atlantic Ocean. And when we came up out of the water, suddenly it dawned on me, it was a beautiful moment, but we forgot to bring a towel. You know, this is the Atlantic Ocean.
Yes.
Well, we look out, and all of a sudden, there's a lady and her husband standing right at the edge of the water with a towel.
Ooh.
Well, I had spied them for peripherally as we were heading into the water. Turns out, this lady was an Assembly of God minister. Her husband was a retired police chief from Weston, MA, Massachusetts. They knew what we were doing, and they wanted to both be a witness and supportive. And they had a towel for us. You had that dear lady come up to you in the church. God knows what we need even before we do.
Amen. God is a God who prepares for our needs. Amen.
Yeah.
And that's the revelation that you were able to see. And that's the revelation that I'm able to look back on, that God cares about me and has a plan for me, because the scripture tells us we were chosen before the foundation of the world. And so we thank God for the tower as well as the lady. Amen.
And there you are.
And God used people. God used people. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that this point of salvation in my life encouraged me that God have used me over the years to draw people to him by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad about that. Amen. And I feel privileged whenever I'm being used by God to be a blessing to someone else. So, yes, it's a wonderful thing.
Well, when you're called into his presence, you're called to be his child and therefore into his family, you are also de facto, in one way, shape, or form, called also into his service. You are clearly a man who took up the mantle of service in a very particular way. I mean, you have this exquisite ministry. Of course, we'll get into it in the next segment. But just briefly, sir, in about 30 seconds, how did between your conversion and you're accepting that call. What played out? We've got about 30 seconds, and we can pick up on the other end.
Well, what played out for me, of course, were the urge to learn more of God's Word. I had this great love for the Word of God. And so I bought one of the best Bibles I can buy, Open Bible, Tropical. And then, of course, I entered Bible school, Manna Bible Institute at night. I continued to operate my garage during the day and went to Bible school at night. And God continued to bless and use me even before I was called as a minister.
Well, and if I may, Pastor, you become, as I trust I do, it's certainly it's the call, you become a Bible school for everyone around you. They tap into you and feed off of you. I praise God. But the Reverend John Canty and Brad Lacey, we return with the great message in a moment. Brad Lacey and the Reverend John Canty of the Macedonia Mission Center in North Philadelphia. We return for another round together of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Reverend Canty, having shared in a kind of synopsis style your coming to faith and your call to ministry, my goodness, the work you now do is of such impeccable nature and extraordinary value. It sounds even glib to say it. You are ministering in large measure to homeless people, often some of the most abject people alive within the city precincts, and yet you bring to their lives the dignity of the gospel. You bring to them through your own person the love of Christ. Tell us about Macedonia Mission Center.
Amen. Macedonia Mission Center became in existence as God moved in my heart the second year of Open, a mission center, at the time that I was pastoring a local congregation in South Philly. And my pastor friend and other supporter thought it was the craziest thing they ever heard that I was going to leave a congregation who the Lord primarily used me to build up and who were co-workers and who were also supporting me and my family to some extent. But the reality is that God called me from a congregation to a mission. And of course, the next thing is you need a facility for mission. So I closed my garage and turned it into a mission in 1990. And primarily, we did a large after-school program, picking up kids after school, recruiting teachers from the local church. We had like 11 teachers, about 50 students. And that worked well. And I felt as I ministered to these kids and look around in the area that I was in, there was a great deal of men just walking around. And so my heart was stirred. So we invited them in on a Saturday morning for breakfast. And from there, we had a tremendous ministry among men, feeding them, cooking breakfast. I might mention, of course, that I was never really a cook. But I learned how to cook eggs and grits and bacon and those kind of things. And it was just a great ministry.
Well, Pastor, when you were in South Philly, you didn't have to learn how to cook. You have all the great diners
exactly,
down there.
Exactly. Exactly. But unbeknownst to me, God had supplied what I needed in North Philly for the new facility. He met our needs faithfully. And that's why when you were sharing from 1 Thessalonians, I was so amazed that you mentioned the sovereignty of God and the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. Because from 1989 to now, we have sought the faithful God. But one other thing, we didn't just minister men. I became the mission director for the Philadelphia Baptist Association, and we organized hundreds of mission trips from here to Africa. And it was just a great ministry. And so, but we primarily sell on and focus on the men's ministry, clothes, workshop, teaching carpentry, plumbing, electric work, and teaching them how to do lawnmower and developing a lawnmower ministry with about 45 different clients that we work with. And out of that, paid those men a decent salary. And I'm going back to the mid-90s. And of course, we paid them literally $10 an hour back then. Folks are still struggling, arguing over $8 an hour when back in 1984, yeah, we were paying them $10 an hour and feeding them. and meeting them at the mission at 7 o'clock in the morning. And so the Lord had blessed us with a multitude of evangelistic ministry and many kind of help ministry, but we primarily worked with men in the last 10 or 20 years, 15 years.
It strikes, two thoughts strike me in response to what you're sharing. The first relates to the idleness of these men that you encountered. When I travel through, I'm in the city often, South Philly, North Philly, I make the rounds. And that is what is most troublesome to me when I see grown men who are idle. And when I say troublesome, I don't mean it in derision of them. I say it in compassion. For whatever reason, these men have found themselves in with this lot. And it is such a sad one to be aimless in life. I've never known that. I've known my call from an early age. And so when I see aimless, idle men, my heart bleeds for them. For you to be able to bring a sense of purpose to their lives, that is of profound significance, is it not?
Well, one of the things that we have for knowledge that most of these men started out just as you started out.
Yeah.
You probably had more solidified kind of help than they did. But keep in mind, most of these men grew up in homes where their father grew up without good job, without good education. And in this inner city, in the urban area, black folks are still struggling with that. Many of them come from single parents' home, and many of them grow up where their parents did not have the training, the education, the opportunity of work and discipline, and all those things, and all those are part of it. Now, again, we don't see those things as a solid hindrance that we can't work beyond those. We see men whose lives are changed when they're given the kind of hope that they need. When someone walk with them, would demonstrate the importance of them as an individual and put their arms around them and see the humanity of each one of those. And not just a mission object, someone that I can win points with God by feeding this God, by training this God, by developing a class and even social issue. And that makes the difference in their life. And if we walk, you hear that walking in my shoe? If we walk in their shoes and listen to them and see where they're coming from, and I'm not making an excuse for where some of them are at, some of them really just, you can't help them. They're too far gone. But all of them need godly love. All of them, and most of them that I've talked to, believe in God and are struggling to trust God in spite of the difficult social condition they have to live in day in and day out. Where do you get a start at except someone come around you and support you, particularly in the informative years when you don't know this and you don't know that and you can't reason through this and can't reason through these conditions and you just don't understand what's going on and you give up hope.
But, well, it strikes me a second thought that I have in response to all you're saying. You're giving these men twofold, both the dignity of their personhood and a sense of purpose. I think of the great Viktor Frankl, who came out of the Holocaust. He was in a concentration camp, and he discovered the men who would survive the camp were the ones who found a sense of purpose. And I remember, too, my twin brother, when he was in London back in the mid-80s, a homeless man on the streets of London. My brother said, this is exactly what he said to this man. The man had never heard this before. My brother said, "Good morning, sir." And then he went to give him some money, probably a pound. And the homeless man said, "Son, I don't want your money. You've given to me what I want." And my brother didn't understand at first. And the man said, you treated me like a human being. That's what I needed today. You keep your money. You gave me what I needed." You're giving these men their humanity back.
Well, I think one of the problems that we often see in missionary service and evangelist outreach service is that we provide service without elevating the humanity of the individual. And when people get a stomach full, when they've had a drink of water, when they even had a few dollars in their pocket, it does not replace the thought of who I am. and who loved me and who cared, who not only gave me my physical thing, but they put their arms around me and they reaffirmed what I already know, that I am somebody. But I'm somebody that need more than food. You know, food take care of the physical body, but it doesn't feed the soul. And so when I think, when we look at the soul as well as the physical person and let them know that we really are concerned about them, it make a difference in the whole life of these people.
You know, we had a man come to our church, I'm going back 25 years, and some people kind of amassed around him. And in classic evangelical context, they wanted to see him saved.
Mm.
They made certain he got a very nice Bible. This was a couple of bucks. It was a leather-bound Bible. And he disappeared from us. And I came across him one day, and I said, "Brother, we miss you." He says, "Well, you know, Brad," he says, "you are okay." And I'm grateful that he said that.
Mm.
But he says, "they all wanted to save me, but," he said, "I wanted to have friendship. And they weren't interested in me as a person."
Exactly.
They just wanted me to have that Bible and be saved. But Pastor Canty, I beg your pardon, another break is warranted. We have another round. I told you this flies. We'll pick up in a moment. Brad Lacey, Pastor John Canty, we return in a moment. Brad Lacey and Pastor John Canty of the Macedonia Mission Center of North Philadelphia, we return for a final round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Pastor Canty, for a few minutes, I'd love to explore with you a concept and reality that you have already raised, and that is the humanity of these men who dwell on the streets. And to begin this line of discourse, I'd like to share with you a story, and I shared it with you in person when we had lunch. I was in the subway station of Harvard Square late on a Saturday night with my best friend. This was back in the 80s. We were waiting for the last train out of Dodge to go home. And there was a homeless man sitting at the end of the bench, and he was overhearing my friend and I discussing the films of Clark Gable. We're both old movie buffs. And I could see peripherally that this man was taking in the conversation. He asked my friend for a cigarette. John shared one with him. And then he said, as he took his first puff, he says, "You know, guys, Gable worked very hard at his craft." Those were the exact words. And I looked at him, and we entered into this wonderful conversation with this homeless man about the films of Clark Gable. The guy knew his stuff. And it taught me in that moment the humanity of these men. Tell us what you find in that vein.
Well, one of the things that, as I said again, looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, is that by grace were we saved. But also in verse 10, it talks about God's purpose for us, is that we are his workmanship as believers.
Yeah.
Amen. And that person that God have dealt with and have formed in nature is to be Christ-like. And one of the things, as I said again, we sometimes can ignore the spiritual person that we're dealing with and just deal strictly with the physical person. But I've tried to look at these men, and if you sit down and talk to them, and I don't mean just talk, but dialogue with them and listen to them and just see the humanity, see their story, understand where they're coming from. Because some of us grow up with someone around us to keep pointing the way, to nurture us, to build us up, to encourage us. But some of these people that we encounter have not been nurtured and cultured and ministered to and made it clear that they are important to you. And you're not just doing a work, but you're dealing with an individual. And then, of course, we gotta have them to understand that we share in common much of what they're going through. That we, like them, have emotional pain and hurt, and we, like them, fail sometime, and we, like them, need help. Amen. When we can identify with them as a person, they can see us as a caring individual, then we have a gateway open to minister to them. Even if they accept Christ, even if they become saved, they need to be nurtured. And so sometimes we get that testimony concerning Jesus, and I want Christ in my life, but there's no real place of nurturing them in our future. So we need to do that.
I might add, when you speak of the darker and less palatable side of life, the hurts and the wounds, one could also add the more positive and more palatable. These men have joy as well, and laughter. I met a homeless man in Boston. It was in the Boston Commons. And I gave one man some, I think I gave him a buck. I mean, one can argue or the wisdom or lack thereof of that. But I gave him a buck, and then I went another block down, and another man hit me up. And I just said very transparently, because I actually felt badly. I said, "Sir, I'm so sorry, but I gave what I had to the guy back there." And he started chuckling. And he looked me in the eye and he says, "Hey, pal, you win some, you lose some." And he was chuckling. I loved it. He had a sense of humor.
Yes, yes, yes. We often find that we go out in the van, because our chapel service, which normally is held at 7 to 9 in the morning on Sunday, is closed down because of the COVID. But we go out and we take about 20, 25 sandwiches, mixed time. The Lord has blessed us to have this partnership with Wawa that supply us with breakfast sandwiches. And we make a big container of hot tea, and we have sanitized bottles and others gift bag. But sometime in the line, we come to the case where we've given our last sandwich out and there's two or three more people in line.
Yeah.
And my heart just breaks when that happened. And I said to them, "Look, we do our best to meet the needs that we can, but we just are short this morning. We've given everything we got in the way of food. But we got a bunch of tea and we got sanitizer, we got this. And we know it don't meet all the needs. But sometimes these people respond, 'I understand, and God bless you, and thank you for what you're offering. Thank you on a cold morning when it's 31 degrees that I've got a 16-ounce cup of hot brewing tea.'" Mm-hmm. And so that's the way it is sometimes. People understand that you are limited, you know, and so we smile when people can accept that, but we also understand that that can be painful, not to get what others have. But they're understanding that way, and you're grateful.
But shame on you, Pastor Kent. He failed to mention you have Bible tracts to give out, courtesy of the Philadelphia Bible Society.
Not only tracts, but courtesy of the Philadelphia Bible Society, we have given out hundreds of Bibles.
Oh, I know you have. I'm being sweet with you.
But hundreds of Bible, you know, you guys have just been a blessing to us, because, like you said, no one can do the work that we're called to do without someone helping them. And so we've had people like yourself who've come around us, and it's just been a real blessing. We're grateful for that. We have to let them know, and we do, that we have people who stand with us. And every now and then we got to take photos, not just to display you down and out, but to let those know who support us that we are on the job, and we need to be accountable to other people. We're grateful for that, really. So.
I need you to meet a dear, dear lady who was actually with us earlier today in church. She has a ministry called No Hungry Belly. She'll be at the luncheon, and I will introduce you, provided you can make it. But I must tell you, with what little time we have left, another story in Boston going back to the 80s. I was accosted by a homeless man, and he wanted money from me. He claimed he was hungry, so when I offered to get him a sandwich, he basically swore at me and walked away. He wanted money for booze, I think. Another guy steps over, says, "I'll have a cup of coffee with you." I took him inside, bought him a sandwich. Turns out this guy was fresh off the boat from Ireland. He said that, "I'm called of God to minister to the homeless, and the best way I can do it is to live with them." And we had this wonderful chat, and he was treating these other guys so sweetly, and I'm beginning to even think I'm entertaining an angel unawares. That's how beautiful this man was. But you know why I realized he wasn't an angel? Just as I'm leaving him, he asked me for money to buy cigarettes. Angels don't smoke.
Exactly. You know, one of the things that encourages us is the awareness that we can separate individual from the crowd.
Yeah.
Amen. So we're thankful for that, but we see sometimes there's a there's selling of the item that we supply. We see that. Yeah. We understand
that.
Oh,
yeah. But God gives you discernment. Yeah, you know, that's a great gift, especially in such a ministry. Pastor Canty, I wish we had more time, but the Lord bless you. Praise God. It's a joy to have you, sir.
Well, I'll say like the man said, we ran out of sandwich. We understand. Amen.
Pastor John, yes, indeed. Pastor John Canty and Brad Lacey, we wish you God's blessing in every way. Please take care.
Thank you, my brother. Amen.